We're going to jump into our installment for today in our series, Salty Church. This is week six, and this is going to be part one of two. And so I said last week we were going to conclude this week, but I was wrong, and I'm wrong often. But how many of you are struggling with gas prices? Buddy, do you know you can still get gas for $1.49 at Taco Bell? No, actually, I do have some really, really good news for those of you who are users of Uber. Here's your new Uber driver. All right. Hey, it's time to get serious. So we're going to move into just a replay, if you will, for a moment of last week. So last week, we talked about a shared passion. And within that sermon, we talked about this idea of those of us who know Jesus, that we are concerned about the well-being of those that we love. So that is, we're concerned about the one another in here. We're going to be concerned about that. But primarily last week, the focus was on those that don't yet know Jesus. And maybe some of you'd say, you know what? I admit it. I'm not a follower of Jesus yet. I'm considering him, but I've not put my faith and trust in him at this point. Maybe you're watching and that's you. And we're glad that you're a part of Hope Community Church in whatever way that you are. But there needs to be this external focus. It's really, really important. And last week, I really just encouraged us all to begin to engage the people around us that don't yet know Jesus just on a consistent basis and whatever way makes sense for you. Maybe it's to share a verse or to give out a tract or to just give your testimony or, encourage them to go to a website or, read a book. There's just a lot of things that we can do. And, I needed to take the lead on that. So this week I've been trying to engage with people. So, yesterday, Diane had her ladies event and we have switched from Comcast to Verizon for our home internet, all right? So I had some issues with the box that they gave us, and so I needed to reach out to Verizon and communicate my problem, and so I got a hold of this guy. Could tell he has a southern accent, so he was at least in North America. He was in America. Thank the Lord for that. It gets just so frustrated talking to people, and they're just somewhere else, and they're just trying to do their best, but it's like every other sentence, it's like, could you please repeat that? I didn't get it. Okay, so, and I realize that because sometimes it's just, we know English and some of us don't even know English very well. So my hat is off to people who know another language and English too. So I'm trying to be kind and, all right, could you just please repeat that? Well, this guy was a little southern draw, and so we're talking, and literally I'm on the phone with him for over an hour. And so finally he was awesome. He helped resolve the issue that I had. And I said, hey, you know what, before we go, there's somebody I really want to talk to you about. It's the most important person in my life. It's Jesus Christ. I said, I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor. And he's like, no way. I'm like, oh man, here we go. I'm like, yeah, you know what, I need to tell people about Jesus. I feel like that's really, really important. I don't care if you remember me. I want you to remember Jesus. And so he's like, man, this is so crazy. He said, you know a guy named Johnny Hunt? I'm like, I do know a guy named Johnny Hunt. He goes, Johnny Hunt was at my church last night, preached. Man, it was awesome. And I said, yeah, I've heard Johnny preach in person too. But it was just, here's this guy in Charlotte, North Carolina that I'll never get to see. But it was important for me to reach out and say, hey, you need Jesus if you don't know him already. And praise God, he already did know Jesus. And so I got a brother named Mark in Charlotte, North Carolina, the home of Ric Flair. Woo! That knows Jesus. Praise God, right? So man, just reach out. Just be real. Be yourself. Share your faith with people. And if they reject you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting the truth, right? So a healthy church seeks to strive a balance between the internal and the external. So last week we talked about the external. This week we're going to talk about the internal. So this week's message is entitled One Another. So I kind of set this up last week in talking about all of the one another's that we find in the New Testament. And so we'll do a little more of a deep dive on that today. So when we're talking about the church, okay, so think about the church here in America in the year 2020. And I want you to think about the focus of the church today and compare it with the focus of the first and earliest Christians. Like on the day of Pentecost when we believe the church was founded, when the Holy Spirit of God came and filled the believers, And they began. What were the chief characteristics of the early church? What did they focus on? I mean, was it Bible version? No, it certainly wasn't. Was it contemporary versus traditional music? No. Was it the time that they gathered together? No, it wasn't. It wasn't their programs. It wasn't a stage presence. It wasn't any of the things that most Christians today, consumer-minded Christians, look for when they go to find a church. What did the early church focus on? There were two things that really stood out to me as I went through this study and this idea of the one another. Number one, they were determined to stick together and carry out the Lord's work. That was important to them. Hey, we don't have time for pettiness. We got to learn to get along. We got to do God's work. This is a focus for us that was so very, very important. So they stuck together. Second of all, they realized the only way that they could do God's work was together. So they stuck together and they worked together. What a novel idea. What happened if us as Christians in our ministries, we said, man, these are the most important things. We got to stick together. We got to work together. We got to figure out how to do what it is that we're doing. So we really get this idea of the church and what it is from a couple places in Scripture that talk about the body of Christ. And so we're going to look to begin with at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at a lengthy passage. I'm going to read straight through, all right, verse 12 through verse 27. And I want you to think about one word, okay, amongst all of them as we're reading. It's the word body. The word body. Maybe some of you, you might want to literally count how many times the word body is found in our text. So here the Apostle Paul, listen, right on the heels of talking about spiritual gifts, is talking about the importance of how we use those gifts in the body, in the church. The church is the body of Christ. So beginning at verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." This is awesome. How many bodies did we find there? Anybody count them? 18 times in this section of Scripture, Paul chose to use the word body, and this is representation of us. So when we think about the body of Christ, we're talking about us as individuals, and he relates that to a body. Some of us are like the eyes, some are like the ears, some are like the heart, some are like the hands. All of us make up the body of Christ, and all of us are to work together for the same purpose. We're all part of the same body, the body of Christ. He is the head, and we are individual members. We are to work together. We're not like golfers. You know, back in the day, I've always loved to golf, but I stink at it. I'm really good at finding golf balls in the weeds because that's where I spend most of my time. But I'm terrible at golf. But there's a premise that begins the game of golf every time you play it. I'm going to beat everybody I play with. It's not a team sport. It's an individual sport. You're trying to shoot the lowest score. Sorry, guys. The most strokes does not win, right? It's the least number of strokes that wins. And so that is a very much an individual activity. Okay, yeah, we're playing with other people, but we're playing against other people. That's not the mindset we should have as the body of Christ. This isn't like Pastor Woody should seek to outshine everybody in the church, or the worship band should want to be the focus of our Sunday gathering, or that the coffee bar should be the greatest coffee bar on the face of the planet and get all of the focus and the attention. No, the goal is that we're collectively doing what we do for Christ. Amen? Whether it's serving a cup of coffee or preaching a sermon or singing a song or changing a diaper in the nursery, we're doing it all for God's glory, because this is what God wants us to do. So we're not like golfers. We're more like a cheer squad. I got you, right? Rachel used to be a part of a cheer squad when she was in high school, and we would go and we would watch. They would compete against others. And it's not like, okay, you know, we're going to follow so-and-so's lead. No, everybody on the team had a job. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do, and at certain points they were to move here or there, and then maybe come together and form a pyramid, and there would be people on the base, and there would be someone that ultimately would be on top, right? Usually the smallest and the lightest weight person on top. But if everybody didn't do their job, you looked really silly. And we saw some of that, and some of that was really funny, actually, as long as it wasn't her team. You know, some of the collapsing pyramids and things, like, yes. My daughter's team just moved up. Yeah. So we're not to see ourselves as golfers. We're to see ourselves as like a squad. We have a part to play in what God is doing. And if we all do our part, God's pleased. God's honored. I would say it this way. A unified local congregation provides the lost world with a beautiful picture. When we all collectively do what we're supposed to do, with and for one another, it's a beautiful thing for non-Christians to see. Because there's just so much division out there in the world. I just turn on the news. Right, like go from Fox to CNN, and you'll see just the diverse world of news. Like go listen to the Democrats, and then go listen to the Republicans, and you'll see that we're at loggerheads with one another. It's never been this bad. So there's a lot of friction and division. It shouldn't be that way in the body of Christ. And when it's not, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. We're all part of the same community. What do people outside of our doors think about us? When they see our sign, when they get maybe an invite card left with a really, really good tip on a table, and a waitress or waiter picks it up, what are they thinking about the church? Are they thinking about us being a unified congregation? So we're a group of individuals who willingly set aside our differences for the cause of Christ. Amen? Let me say it this way. Serving our community better begins by embracing our call to serve one another. There ain't no way we're going to serve the people out there if we're not collectively serving one another in here. It's where it begins. I'd say it this way as well. Our view of the church is determined in part by our commitment to it. Just swallow really hard, it'll go down. So how committed are you to your local church? This isn't how committed are you to Pastor Woody or my sermons or the worship band and their songs. It's how committed are you to this local church, realizing this is a part of the body of Christ. We're to be committed to one another. How committed are you to the church? How committed am I to the church? So last week I mentioned all of these one another's, and as I mentioned, there's about 100 one another's in the New Testament. About half of them are directed specifically at Christians. So like how we're supposed to act and interact with one another. So let me just say right up front, if you're a Christian and you are not consistently being a part of a local church, you cannot even come close to fulfilling the commands that God has placed on his people. You've excluded yourself even from the attempt to do that if you're not collectively gathering with God's people. So if you're part of a local church, there are these commands that are going to come in play because the scripture tells us over and over again, these one another's, what that's going to look like for us in the body of Christ. So I spent a great deal of time going through all of those many of those one another's, and I've kind of narrowed it down to 8 different ways that we show this one another mentality. And here's what I discovered. This is the big take for the day. Here's what I discovered. The resounding, resonating theme of the New Testament one another verses is crystal clear. Church members are accountable to one another and for one another. And that doesn't mean that I'm to do your job and you're to do my job, but collectively, if we all do our jobs, we'll see ourselves as being accountable to one another and responsible for one another. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. Did you know that? Do you know that you have just as much responsibility to help me and hold me accountable as I do you? Amen. Every one of us. I'm not above you. I may be on a platform, but that's just so everybody can see me a little bit better. But there's no hierarchy in the church of God. Pastors are just people. Leaders are just individuals. And trust me, many of the people that are leading, they'd rather somebody else did it. But they love the Lord and they want to serve him in spite of the hardship that comes often with leading. So listen, bring it back to this idea of the body. Like we don't neglect parts of our body, do we? Here's the truth. We don't neglect parts of our body without consequences. We don't ignore parts of our body, do we? Well, some of us do, but we don't without consequences. So think about this, like neglecting, like how many of you are going to walk outside on a day like today with no shoes on? I mean, it's cold out there. It's cold out there. Like every now and then, you know, put on your slippers, go out in the garage, and, you know, just even that, it's like, man, is it cold? And you want to get back into the warmth as soon as possible, like, who in their right mind would go out in weather like this without shoes on? You know, I mean, the longer you're out there, the worse it's going to get. I mean, no one is going to intentionally neglect a part of their body that they need. Shoes are made for walking, but you got to have feet in those shoes to really walk properly, right? Now, no one would knowingly neglect their body. No one would knowingly ignore their body, parts of their body. I'm just imagine for the next week if you just said, okay, I'm not going to use my left arm. I'm only going to use my right arm. I'm not going to use it at all. Do you know it doesn't take long at all for that part that you're not using to become weaker? Like some of you who have been in the hospital, praise God, I've never been in the hospital for more than one night in my life. And I, knock on wood, no, I'm not superstitious, but I thank God for my health. But some of you have had to lay in a hospital bed for days. What happens when you try and get up? You're weak. You need help. It's like, what in the world happened to my legs? This is insane. So none of us would knowingly neglect our body, and no one, I would hope, would ignore their body. And so we need to realize that as the body of Christ, we all have this part to play. And if you as an individual member, if you're neglecting your part, if you're ignoring your part, you're just impacting the whole body. Amen? This is a collective opportunity for us to serve Jesus, whatever way you do that. So we play a role in the well-being of one another. This is the focus of the New Testament church. And so today we're going to hit 4 one another ideas that we find in scripture, right? So super long introduction. I'll try not to be super long with the heart of the message here. So salty Christians, number 1, cooperate with one another. cooperate with one another. That should be our goal. We want to cooperate together. Love a story of a guy. He is a he's looking to be a missionary in Venezuela. He speaks English, but he's really struggling to learn Spanish. It's just not really going well, but he has this opportunity to go. He's going to be a part of a church, and he hopes to learn a little bit about the culture and the people, and he doesn't know where he's at. He's trying to find this church in Venezuela. Finally walks in late, place is packed. The only seat is available is in the front row. So he goes and he sits down in the front row and he's like, you know what? I don't even know what this guy is hardly saying. I'm trying to pick up these words in Spanish. And he says, you know what? I'm just going to do what the guy next to me does. So everything the guy next to him does, he does. So when that guy claps, he's like, okay, I'm going to clap, right? When he sings, he tries to sing. It's in the heart of the message and finally kind of toward the end. And the pastor says something, and all of a sudden this guy stands up. So he stands up, and he hears this big gasp. He's like, what in the world? And he's looking around, and he's like, nobody else is standing up. So he sits down. So service got done, and he's walking out, and he's talking to the pastor, and he's like, you know, man, this is kind of weird. He says, you know, I'm so-and-so. I'm here to kind of learn about the culture. I want to be a missionary. And the guy goes, you don't speak Spanish, do you? He goes, no. He said, how do you know? He says, well, toward the end of the service, when I said that the La Costa family had a new member, would the proud father please stand up? We want to cooperate with one another to a degree. Cooperate with one another. Where do we find this in Scripture? Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. This is a song of ascent, and I'll explain what that means in a moment, right? It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity is a beautiful thing. And this is a song of ascent. So literally, this is a song or a psalm that the children of Israel would collectively sing as they're marching toward Jerusalem, going perhaps to one of the high feast days, the opportunities that they had in their Jewish calendar to gather together, that God said, remember me, remember me, remember me. And they would sing these songs together collectively. Do you know that's what we do when we come together and sing? We're collectively saying, man, we want to be in God's presence. We want God to be in our midst. And there's something really, really beautiful about unity. You know, unity abounds everywhere. But in some cases, unity is like narrowed down to like the least common denominator, like politics. And politics, in your view, can change so much. But, you know, I mean, if your connection with other people is simply politics, It's really a negative thing, not a positive thing in many respects. It's your unity is really based on your dislike, and in some cases, your hatred of other people and the view that they hold. It's based on hatred. There are some people, their political affiliation is the most uniting thing in their life. They got the bumper stickers, their giving, their communication, everything is connected to that. In many cases, it's hate. It's dislike for other people. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have political views and we should be wise. We should make sure that we're voting for people who hold to our values. I think that's extremely important. Well, let me tell you, one of the reasons we're in the state we are today is because we haven't been doing that very well. You get what you pay for. Even the vice president said that recently. No amen, nothing. Okay, all right. I thought I was unified with you this morning, but okay. So sometimes the common denominator is like the least common denominator. All right, it's dislike, it's hate. But do you know what binds you and me together? The love of Christ that was poured out on you and poured out on me. And the thing that's so beautiful about it, that is, I don't know everything about you, but I know everything about me. And I know how hard it must be for the Lord to love me. As my wife reminds me of that every now and then. No, she loves me. She's committed to our marriage and to her vows. But boy, do I make it difficult for her sometimes. But it's this idea of unity, how beautiful it is for brethren to work together in unity. What a beautiful thing it is to come into a church and to feel and sense the presence of God and not feel this like tension of like people, you know, sitting on this side of the church and other people sitting on that side of the church and not even looking at one another because they have issues that are between them, that are dividing them. Unity is a beautiful thing. We're to cooperate one together with one another. In Acts chapter 2, as the church began, all right, let me read a couple verses and share one thought. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people get saved at one time as the word of God is preached, and people respond. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And here's a phrase that grabbed me this week. Now all who believed were together. What a beautiful phrase. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as everyone had need. Now we believe that this was a unique, unique opportunity for them to do that. I don't believe that we're called to do that today. Like, I'm going to say, okay, all of you just go ahead and I'm going to give you my checking and routing number for the church. You guys just all, just bring it all in here and just come to me and I'll, and whatever your need is, okay, you got a bill. All right, we'll pay that out of that. But if somebody doesn't have a job, we're going to take out of that collective pool and we're going to give that to them. Okay? That's not what the scripture is talking about. This is a unique opportunity as a church is coming together and people are losing their connection with others, losing their jobs because of their faith. And they had this unifying purpose. It was to honor Jesus. Again, verse 44, now all who believed were together. What a beautiful phrase. What a beautiful phrase. That's what I want for this church. I want us to be unified. He is the head and he directs us and we move together. Amen? So salty Christians, number one, cooperate with one another. Number two, salty Christians cherish one another. A couple verses from the book of Romans, chapter 12. Paul begins, be kindly affectioned or affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So notice these beautiful phrases here. We're to be kindly affectionate. We're to give preference to one another. We're not to lag in our service to one another. Amen? We're not to lag in those things. He goes on, Romans 15:7. He says, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also served us to the glory of God. So as Christians, we're to be inviting. We're to be inviting. Now, church, can I get really, really honest with you for a few moments? When's the last time you let somebody into your circle? When's the last time someone got introduced into your circle, your close-knit friends that you love, that you communicate with, you do things with? When's the last time you let somebody in? Nobody should come to Hope Community Church and not feel loved enough to receive an invitation. We should all be looking. Who's sitting alone? Who doesn't have anybody that's near them? Who maybe is not in a group already? We should be seeking to engage with those people. That is this idea of cherishing one another. This is more about the attitude that we have toward one another. Romans 16:16 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. We're going to begin that next Sunday. I mean, what is a kiss? A kiss is a sign of affection. It's a sign of affection. Like, you know, do it with family. You know, let's leave the rest out. But we're to cherish one another to that degree that we want to be affectionate with one another. Now, don't be overbearing. Don't smother people. But we should want to cherish one another to the degree that they feel invited into our lives. They feel invited into our circle. That's how churches grow. Listen to me. If you stay in your little circle and I stay in my little circle, we'll stay the size we are and we won't reach people like we could. We got to let people in. Go out and enjoy a meal with a family, with somebody. You're going to learn about them. You're going to begin to engage on a deeper level. And the more that you know each other, the more connectivity you have, the more you can pray for one another, and more you can be someone who cherishes others. So a salty church, or salty Christians rather, number three, confront one another. Now this is a hard one. Confront one another. We see this in the book of Galatians. As one apostle confronts another apostle. This is like Clash of the Titans. This is like the Super Bowl competition of two Christians, like at the top of their game, the top of the food chain, if you will, of God's church and their responsibility. And literally, there were two that were at odds with one another because of what one of them had done. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision," or those who were of the Jewish faith that were now Christians. I think there's, in the context, they're Christians, but some of them were trying to hold on to the traditional aspects of their Judaism, including circumcision. So basically, it's like, hey, Peter, you know, when those Gentiles come, you know, they've never been circumcised. I don't think you should be hanging out with them. You should be hanging out with us. Okay, so when he would see the Gentile Christians coming, he would just kind of get close to the Jewish believers, Jewish Christians, and he would neglect loving, caring for Gentile Christians. It's a real thing. We can have these walls of division between us over really, really silly things. Now, to the early Jewish Christians, this was not a silly thing. And ultimately, you find in Acts chapter 15, this issue got resolved of like, what part of the Jewish tradition do we need to put or place on the Gentile believers? And you'll find this only a couple things. They didn't have to hold to circumcision or to some aspects of the law. So here Paul confronts Peter, but notice how he does it. All right, three very important words in verse 11. He did it to his face. I love this. If you have something to say to me, say it to my face. Now, I'm not saying that in a confrontational way. I'm saying that's the biblical way of approaching things. If you have a problem with me as your pastor, don't go to one of our elders. Don't talk to one another. Come to me. Come to me. If I have a problem with you, I'm not going to go through your sister, your brother, somebody in your ministry team. I'm going to come to you. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be. Do you know how many church conflicts would end if we simply did that? Because here's the deal. Many times we don't even know that we've offended somebody. We just don't know it. So here, Paul confronts Peter to his face. He's not doing this because he wants Peter to think that he is better than him. He honestly wants to resolve the issue. He wants to do it personally, lovingly, and humbly. And certainly God did that. All right, again, a verse that we talked about on Wednesday night. If you were not here Wednesday night, I believe you can go out and listen to the message on forgiveness. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. We're to be forgiving. So don't talk about people. Talk to people. I remember years ago I sat down with somebody who said they were leaving the church, and I'm like, well, man, my heart is broken. I mean, there are people that were with us like from the first service we had, and so I'm like, you know, what's going on? You know, why are you leaving the church? What's going on? I thought he was going to say, you know, hey, we're moving. My job is being transferred, and I'm going to another state, and it's just too hard to get on a plane every Sunday and come to church anymore. That's my mentality. So I said, man, that's really sad. And I said, well, you know, what can I ask? I mean, what is your reason? And he said, well, I've got a beef with another family in the church. I'm like, well, and I call him by his name. I'm like, well, man, that's easy enough. Let's just take the biblical approach. Matthew chapter 18. Let's take, so have you gone to them to try and resolve it? No, we're just going to leave. You're just going to leave. You're just going to leave. See, this is the state of the church in America in 2022. Is there's a church on every corner, and church membership and accountability doesn't mean anything in most places. So you can have a beef with somebody, and you can just pick up and take your little pity party somewhere else, and they'll let you join there, and you can contaminate that congregation. Do you know when people join here? If you joined, you've probably seen it, and some of you were like, what is this? There's a line on there for those of you who want to join. It says, are you under church discipline at another church? Why do we put that in there? Because we don't want you coming to this church if you have unresolved issues at your former church. Amen? This is important. We're to solve differences biblically. And get it. Sometimes I know you try to do that and it just doesn't work or whatever because there's two parties. And maybe sometimes people feel the need to leave, but please don't do that unless you've tried to resolve issues with one another, whether it be with me or somebody else, amen? So we're to confront one another. That's what salty Christians do. We confront one another. Hey, I just want you to know you offended me, you hurt me. We don't do it in public. We don't do it to shame the person. We do it because we want reconciliation. We want resolution, amen? All right, fourth and last, we care for one another. So stick with me for a minute, running a little bit longer than I thought I would, but think about this for a moment. If you're a Christian, one of the resonating themes that we see in the Bible is this idea of being a disciple, right? Like, someone says, well, what are you? Well, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a disciple. Okay, so if you were asked, what best defines what a disciple is? What would non-Christians say? What would you say as an individual believer? Would you say, it's my devotion to God's word, to learn his word? And that's important, amen? It's important to know God's word. Would you say that it's that you get connected in some way with other Christians? That's certainly part of it as well. We could come up with a dozen or more really, really good answers to that question, but what would Jesus say that others would see as the identifying mark of disciples? We find that in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment, this is Jesus, a new commandment I give you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's it. That's it. How's the world going to know that we're followers, disciples of Jesus? By the love we have for one another. Love, love, love for one another. What a beautiful, beautiful picture it is when the outside world sees this idea of Christians truly caring for, loving one another. So the church is one place where we can consistently demonstrate our love for one another. Amen? Every time we come, we're challenged with these one another's. Stay away, we can ignore those one another's. But when we come together, the one another's become really, really important. So, all right, I need this morning a volunteer. I'm going to close the service with this one other thing. And I was just thinking about who might be a good person to call on. So I'm going to ask Brian Proper if he would come up. Brian is one of our newer members here, got baptized here. Just absolutely love Brian. His testimony is awesome. If you haven't had a chance to hear his testimony, give him a hand as he's coming up, would you? Come right on up, bud. Come right on up. So, Brian's got an awesome testimony. What God has done in his life is amazing. We're so grateful that he's here. And I just want to show you sometimes what we do as Christians and ministry leaders, as we're trying to do what we do as a church, all right? So collectively, we look around and we see that there are needs. Like right now, there are just all these ministries that are involved in the church work. You don't realize it, right? Like there's a team that cares for the little ones. There's a team that teaches and sings with the students. There's a team that works with the student ministry. There's a team that leads the coffee bar. There's a team that sings and does tech. There's a team that goes out and feeds the homeless. There's all of these ministries. And Brian, because he's such an awesome guy and he's never said no to his pastor, he's basically going to agree to help in all of these unique ways that we have at the church. So, Brian, I want you to know, buddy, that we have this ministry. It's a really, really important ministry, and basically what it is it's a way to connect people in the church. So, like, when people show up at the door, we have people that open the door and just love on people as they're coming in the church and just say hello. And if they see that they have a need somewhere, they point it to them and they point them to the guest table. And at the guest table, we have all these gifts because we love to give away gifts. So, Brian, I know that you would love to be a part of the Hope Connects ministry. So you're going to need that for that ministry because people need gifts to show that the church really loves them. Amen? And so we try to do that. So we're going to give away some gifts. So thank you, Brian, so much for being a part of the Hope Connects ministry. It's so vitally important. Now, just a few other ministries I'd like for you to be involved in. I know that this is big responsibility, okay? But we've got some other ones. We have this ministry called Check-In. And basically in Check-In, Brian, it's not really that hard. It won't take much of your time. But before service, as kids are coming into our ministry, we want to make sure they're safe. And so when those people show up, if they're not already in our database, we need to add them. So we got this awesome computer that you're going to be able to use, and it says Check-In right on it. And so whenever it's flipped up, they're going to see that ministry, and so they're going to know you're a part of the Check-In ministry. So those kids are going to come in, and the parents are going to get a tag, and the child's going to get a tag, and that way no child is lost. Amen? Because one child is one too many to get lost in church. Amen? And so man, I know that you're already doing this ministry, and you're going to do great at this ministry. But we're just going to go ahead and give you that one too, because I know that you love the Lord, right? This is so vitally important. Now, Brian, there's a few other things. There's this ministry that also is teaching kids. So like kindergarten to fifth grade, like on Sundays and Wednesdays, we have these programs designed just for kids. And we have people that are so excited and they're singing songs and they're going through a lesson in the Bible. And so this is a lesson book that you're going to need. And because I know that you're going to do a great job with those two ministries, I know you're going to do a great job with this one too, Brian. Thank you so much for serving. What an awesome example of somebody in the body of Christ. Amen. He's willing to do all of these ministries, but that's not it, Brian. So see, we collect the offering during the service, and ushers are like at the door. And they like help people if they need to find seats together or there's just a need, and they receive an offering that's not for them, it's for the church, and so they collect it, and you're gonna need this because listen, I know that's already three ministries, but Brian, this is a really, really important one. I mean, we can't pay the bills if we don't have people giving. So we're gonna go ahead. You okay with doing that ministry too? Okay, so we got, you know what? I was thinking about all these other ministries that we have, and we've got like youth. Like youth are so vitally important. So like 6th through 12th grade, they meet one time a week on Wednesdays, and amongst all the things that they love to do, they love to have snacks and pop. And so we're going to go ahead and I'm thinking that you're probably going to want to be a part of that because you know how important it is. We can't lose these teens. Amen?
Why not?
Okay, so you're going to need that for that ministry. Man, I'm so happy. Awesome. We're filling another hole with somebody who loves the Lord and he just wants to be involved in ministry. Amen. This is my kind of guy. Okay. So I just got a few more. Okay. So we don't normally do this. So just for the sake of illustration, like we have little ones downstairs, like 6 weeks through preschool and they need somebody to love on them and help them. Keep them safe, sing songs with them, do a Bible story, but they also get poopy diapers. And so I know that you're I know that you're a grandpa. I know that you're a dad and a grandpa, and I know you've changed some diapers along the way, so we're going to give you just another job, all right? And I know we just got a few other. See, we got this other ministry that's so vitally important. It's the singing ministry. And And we've got so many needs. And you can see Rachel if you want to be a part, because we're going to talk about getting some more people involved, whether you're singing or playing an instrument or whatever. We just want to have a great team of people. And I heard that you are musically inclined and that you could probably do the bells. So you know what? We're just going to go ahead and we're going to let you be a part of the worship team, because I know that that will be really, really important. And hey, also we have a building and grounds team that just takes care of everything that gets done in the building, including some things that we really don't want to have to deal with. And I see that your hands are kind of full. Let me go ahead. Yeah, we'll just go ahead. We'll just do that. And you know what? We just got a couple more. We've got, what is this one for? I forgot. Anyways, let's forget that one. All right, we just got one more. We just got one more, and that's security, because we got to keep everybody safe. And so I know your hands are already full, so we're gonna go ahead and do this. But okay, now can I be serious for a minute? This is what we do to people, and we don't do this to people because we don't love them. We do this because we don't have enough people to fill some of the ministry roles that are vitally important for us to serve Jesus here. So if you're not doing anything, I want you to think about people like Brian that are holding many hats, and he can't do all of these effectively, and he's trying, but he's going to get burned out, and church isn't going to be fun to him anymore. So I want to encourage you. You can just sit all that stuff down, Brian. Thank you. Give him a great big hand, would you? Need some help? Thank you so much, buddy. I don't do enough, Pastor. He said, I don't do enough, Pastor. Well, you know what? By the way, Brian, I'm not here to browbeat anybody. I could get you to feel bad about not serving. That's not my intention this morning. What I want is for Jesus to touch your heart and to realize you're a vitally important part of his body. He may not be the mouth. You don't get to come up here and speak, but there's a role that can be filled. And so there is at the door a list of our ministries and just a brief description of each of those ministries. The ministry leader, maybe you'll know them, maybe you won't. But I'm going to ask every single one of you to consider picking that up, prayerfully looking over that list, checking the boxes of ministries you might be interested in. I'm not saying if you sign up with a check, you're committing blood to serve in that ministry till you die. We're saying you're interested in this ministry, and then our ministry leaders are going to contact you, sit down with you, invite you to check out their ministry and see if this is a fit for you. And I'm telling you, nothing would please the Lord more this morning than for some of us to say, you know what, I'm in. Church members are accountable to one another and are responsible for one another. We'll hit part two next week. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time we've had together. Thank you for allowing us to laugh, have fun, as we talk about this most important ministry, the most important ministry in the world, the work of your church. Jesus, you are the head. You're the one who calls the shots. You're the one who has all of the plans lined out for us. You equip us as your body with gifts, with talents, with knowledge, with experience, to serve. And I pray that God, you would speak to your people, speak to those who are here that honestly, they need to be doing something. There needs to be teams, husbands and wives, teaching on Sunday morning upstairs on a rotation basis to help kids to learn about Jesus. There are people who have talents and skills and singing and instruments. People who are good with basic computer skills that could be helping. There are people who just have a great personality that could be at the door greeting folks. There, There's just so many opportunities to serve. And God, we want your church to be a well-oiled machine, not oiled the way that the world would see it, but oiled through your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, that you are the anointing oil that just takes and uses us for your glory. And Lord, I'm just going to praise you in advance for the response of your people, God, as we just lean into your will for our lives. Help us now as we stand, as we sing, and close this service, God. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message delivered at Hope Community Church, located in Waterford, Michigan. We sincerely hope this message has encouraged you to begin a relationship with God or strengthen the one you already have. If we can assist you on your spiritual journey, please call the church office at 248-481-8240 or contact us through our online home at www.hopecommunitywaterford.net. Our church meets every Sunday at 10 a.m. and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. We would be honored to have you join us if you live in the area. Thanks again for listening.